I
Wait,
did.
wait a second. I think that Steve's gonna record. Oh, you're recording. Okay,
Oh,
good
I'm
thing.
sorry. The Shia tonight is being divided into two segments. One segment will be the shorter segment, and the bulk of the Shia hopefully will be devoted to an explication of the Parsha. But I initially would like to dedicate the Shia of the Ilu Nishmas, the executive director of my yeshiva, Torah Shraga, whose fourth yahrzeit was this week, Chafei Sibon. Harav Michael Mickey Mark, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yimkom Damav. He was tragically killed by terrorists 4 years ago on Erev Shabbos. And I wanted just to say a few words in his memory. Most of you do not know him, but I think that he had salient qualities that are so significant, I just would like to share them with you. He was the executive director of our yeshiva for approximately 10 years. At the same time, he was also a mankal, an executive director of the yeshiva Notniel. For a period of time, he was the CEO of a very large chevra in Drom Har Chevron, and he was really a very remarkable person. And I would like to, as I said, share a few insights into his personality and try to paint for you a bit of a picture as to what he was all about. I think qualities that we could unquestionably learn from. The first Nekuda, he was someone who was fascinated by the world at large. He was a very curious person. He was someone who had an interest in so many different things and so many different areas of life. We traveled together to the United States on many occasions to raise money for the yeshiva. And usually he was the driver. Israeli drivers are known for their prowess. And he would drive actually in Manhattan, in Brooklyn, in New Jersey, and elsewhere. We drove actually long distances. We had many opportunities to converse in Divrei Torah, in Midland Dalma. And amazingly enough, he found the United States to be an absolute delight in terms of all the curiosos that he saw there. I remember that often when we were driving, he would stop quite often to take pictures of all types of what he considered to be unique phenomena, such as someone walking in the street dressed like a Chiquita banana, another person walking in the street with a chatul, with a cat on his head. And as well, when he saw beautiful landscapes, he would take pictures of that as well. He was astounded by what he called Niflos HaBoire, by the wonders of Hashem Yisbarach, both in terms of natural wonders as well as human wonders, in terms of behaviors that were a little bit out of the box. And he was amazed when he saw the numbers of people walking in New York City and Manhattan, the congestion, which was to him was beyond belief. There was barely room for a human being to walk. Barely we had dollaramas of our own in the course of trying to traverse the streets of Manhattan. And he was equally amazed by the number of eateries. He thought there was an eatery every dollaramas. And he said, it's clear the entire United States is based on one principle. But the Gemara says, Gedola Lagima, eating is everything. Nothing else counts. That's the Kuda number one in terms of his outlook on the world at large and the way he saw Niflos HaBoire. And this came from his understanding of the Pasuk, Marabu Masecha Hashem, Kulam Bechachma Asisa, Mala Haaretz Kinyanechan. The word Marabu doesn't only mean quantity, Marabu, but rather, Marabu also refers to multi-hued and multicolored, not just in terms of riboy, in terms of numbers, but he understood it in terms of colorations, so many different colorations in the Yad Hashem, in the Bria, and as I mentioned, But Chazal tell us, Keshim Shepratzufeim Enum Shavim, Kach Deoseim Enum Shavos, all of us are different, all of us are unique. But he had a perpetual smile on his face. A number of times, people met us in the streets, asked us for directions. They specifically pointed to him with his Israeli kind of clothing. And they would ask him, and in his broken English, he would respond to them. And he quickly realized he was a foreigner, but he had that unbelievable smile on his face. And they were very taken by his infectious smile. Almost the Gemara in Ksubas, writ large, Chachlili Einayim Miyoyin Ulaven Shinayim Echolam. Many times he told me that in the course of his learning in a number of yeshivot b'tayyot, literature yeshivas, he heard Rabbi Saul Salam say that a person's physiognomy, one's face is the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore one has to be in the Rishus HaRabim, one has to put on one's best display, and therefore he was constantly smiling, but in general he was a very congenial, very happy kind of person with tremendous simchas hachayim that he radiated from every pore of his body. He understood actually human beings very, very well, and he knew how to connect with them and how to somehow create bonding. The second nekuda I wanted to mention, he was very sensitive to the emotional highs and lows of all human beings. When they were in simcha, he was in tremendous simcha. When they were in tzar, he was in tremendous tzar. And that, of course, is essentially one of the attributes of Hashem Yisbarach. The Gemara has in Seita, and Daf Yud Daled, Mahu Afata, Imitati Odei. We're supposed to emulate the attributes of Hashem Yisbarach, and certainly one of the attributes of Hashem Yisbarach is Imo Anochi B'tzara. V'chol Tzarosam Lo Tzar. Ani Hashem Hashoychi Nitzom, or the way the Gemara expresses it, Kalani Meroshi, Kalani Mizroi. Many times I heard him cite the words of Chazal, which are found actually in the Hoshanos. V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas siglos Mitzrayim. Hashem will take us out of the difficulties of Egypt. And the Hoshanos writes, Hotzeisi noko v'hutzeisi itchem. Shinta begalusa. The Shekhinah of Hashem Yisbarach also goes into Golus. And I told him that I once heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal a very similar kind of commentary. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of reading the New York Times every single day. And he pointed out many, many times how on the first page or somewhere in the first few pages of the New York Times, somehow Eretz Yisrael appeared, the State of Israel appeared, that seemed to be the focus of their attention, almost as if they were fixated on this little country in the Middle East, which is amazing. So Rav Soloveitchik asked, how is it possible, such a small country with a very limited kind of population, so mitzumtzum, and yet somehow we play an unbelievable role in the New York Times. We always appear there, usually on the front pages, in some form or fashion. How does one explain that? So Rav Soloveitchik explained it based on the story of the famous Ger of Vilna, Count Potocki. He was an aristocratic Polish Catholic nobleman who converted to Christianity, who didn't convert. He was born a Christian, but he converted afterwards to Judaism. He studied comparative religion. He decided that Judaism was the only true authentic religion, and therefore he converted from Christianity to Judaism. But during that period of time in Poland, as you can imagine, this is the days of the Vilna Gaon, in the 1700s, Poland was a Catholic country, and no one converted to Judaism. If you did so, your life would be in peril, would be in terrible danger. He had to run away, and he left the country for a fair number of years. At one point, he came back, and we know what happened. The end of the story is, again, a tragic one. He was discovered. They threatened if he doesn't reconvert back to Christianity, he will be burnt at the stake, and he was burnt in an auto de fe on the second day of Shavuos. And there are a lot of stories about that burning at the stake and the attempts of the Vilna Gaon to somehow save him. But what I wanted to share with you is what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, and an incredible ha'ara. When a would-be ger comes to convert to Judaism, so the Gemara says in Yevamos, it's also quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted by the Rambam, we try to dissuade him from converting. We tell him, don't you know that Am Yisrael is devuyim, schufim, miturafim. We're constantly being persecuted. We're constantly being assaulted. We're constantly under attack. The venom of the world is directed to us. Why would you want to be a ger? Why would you want to convert? So the Gemara says, if he responds, afal b'kein, even so, so right away, megarin osom liyad. We convert it right away. What does this count, Potocki? When he was being questioned by the Beis Din and they were trying to dissuade him from becoming a ger, how did he respond? He didn't say afal b'kein. He said, adraba. That is good for the reason why I want to become a ger. Because it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, even though we are suffering, even though we are persecuted, but we continue to survive, we continue to flourish, we continue to prosper. That's a sign that Ima Alochi Mitzara, that Hashem is Dafka with the Jewish people. Hashem is with Kal Yisrael. So our Soloveitchik said, that explains as well why we appear in the New York Times. We're constantly subjected to attack, to persecution, but Ima Alochi Mitzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, even in the reportage of the newspapers. We somehow take a front row, a center seat. That idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomer Yisrael, Shomer She'eris Yisrael, Va'al Yovad Yisrael, Ho'omim Shema Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker. And therefore, one can be a very small, not very prominent nation. Lo Meirubchem Mikol Ha'amim Chashan Hashem Bachem Vayivcha Bachem Ki Atem Ha'ma'at Mikol Ha'amim. And somehow, said Rav Soloveitchik, that the non-Jewish world has tremendous antenna. Namely, they know exactly where HaKadosh Kadoshim is. So in the days of Chazal, they were issuing zeros against Shabbos, against Rosh Chodesh, against Bris Milah. And now today, their venom is directed against the state of Israel. They sense and realize and recognize and acknowledge the unbelievable accomplishments of this small, tiny state, and they also recognize the fact that the Jewish people play an incredible world, a gargantuan world, despite their minimalistic numbers in the world at large. But the role they play is one which is absolutely beyond, way beyond their numbers. So this idea of Ima Anochi Bitzara is something that I shared with Rav Michal, Nikki, Mark Zatzal on a number of occasions. Item number three, he himself was an individual who had tremendous derecheret for every single human being. And yet, he ran away from COVID. A number of times, the yeshiva wanted to honor him at a dinner. We used to have a dinner on a timely basis every few years. And he told me, he made it very clear, if you honor me, I will run away from the yeshiva. I will have nothing to do with the yeshiva anymore. I will completely disconnect. He was literally someone who was borech min hakavod. There was a point in time, a fair number of years ago, where there was another American yeshiva that was in deep financial straits. They were really in difficult circumstances. And so they asked me if I could possibly enlist him to go and help them financially, because he was a financial wizard, someone who was a genius. He built institutions, he built yeshivas, he probably built a whole city called Otniel. And he was involved in a number of different ventures, so many different enterprises. He also had and has a very large mishpacha, Ken Yerbu, Bli Ayin Hara. And so they prevailed upon me to ask him. When I approached him, he told me it's almost impossible. He doesn't have a moment in the day to barely breathe. So how can he possibly help them? So I said to him, this yeshiva is drowning. They're at the point where they're capsizing. They won't be able to survive. They play a very significant role. So right away, he couldn't turn me down. Ima Anochi Bitzara, and quickly went to help the yeshiva. Approximately 2 years later, the yeshiva was once again back on its feet due to his incredible expending of energy and time and the like. And then I discovered at his Petira, when he passed away, he refused to take one shekel from the yeshiva for the 2 years of work that he did. And he said, apparently, how could I take money from a yeshiva that's drowning, that's having difficulty keeping afloat? I have no right to do so. It's a schus to be able to put the yeshiva back on its feet. So that was also another very beautiful aspect of his personality. The fourth nekuda I want to mention, he loved to hear Divrei Torah and all kinds of sugyos in Shas, and he always pretended that he knew very little about learning. He spent a fair number of years learning in yeshivas, but he made no pretense to be a Talmud Chacham, and I knew that it was all a front. Because once in a while, when I would say something and make a comment, he would cite for me a Gemara or some Rishon or some other source, some other Makar, and when I quickly right away jump at him, Mickey, where does that come from? Oh, I happened to hear it the other day, or someone mentioned it to me. But I don't really have any connection to any of this. His sense of tznius and sense of anava was unbelievable. A number of times we actually stayed at a cousin of his in the United States, and he used to wake up very early in the morning. I was still in the arms of Morpheus. He woke up early in the morning, and I would see him learning. And he'd either be learning Torah Shebaal Peh. I discovered accidentally that he was taking Bechinas for the smicha in the Rabbanut here in Eretz Yisrael. And I was told by the person who gave those Bechinas that he got 100 on every Bechina. He aced every single one. He took in Nida, he took in Mikvos, he took in Gittin, he took in Shabbos, he took in Erevin, and a host of others. But the other time, he would actually sort of be hiding from me when he was learning in the morning, and he was busy learning Kabbalah. He was the Mumchen Kabbalah. He had tremendous knowledge of Sisrei Torah, and that I was totally unaware of. On a number of occasions, he attempted to somehow edify my personality with a bit of Kabbalah, but as those of you who know me, and all of you know me, I'm a terrible litvak, so it's hard to somehow insinuate Sisrei Torah into a litvak, who's essentially trained on Talmudic texts and halacha, and things of that sort. The last number of years of his life, he decided to devote more time to learning Havayis, Havayis, Virava, and really one could say about him, Ma'ahavti Torasecha Kol Hayom Yisichasi. By the way, I use that expression because he was also very fond of music. He was almost a musical maestro. He was constantly playing all kinds of music, some of which he himself composed. He was very into nigunim, into chazanus, niguni chasidus, all types of nigunim, all over the place. And that team was connected to Pnimius HaTorah. On one occasion, he asked me if I wanted to meet one of the big mekubalim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Abigail, who lives down south, Nitivot, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He passed away, unfortunately, a relatively young man, a number of years ago. So I said, I'm willing to meet him. And then when we were traveling to the Tzibot, he told me, I know you, you're a terrible litvak. You don't subscribe to this Kabbalistic stuff. I know exactly where you're coming from. So I'll tell you what, prepare a kasha for this going Rav Abigail in some Masechta in Shas, and then you'll be able to decide whether he's for you or he's not for you. Okay? So I thought of a kasha. When we finally came there, so I asked him a kasha and a tesis in Zvokim, which I happened to actually have been learning at the time. And on the spot, this Abigail responded to me, either he learned that tesis 5 minutes ago. I was absolutely thunderstruck. And then I proceeded to have a conversation with him, and it was really a very beautiful conversation. But he had tremendous derecherets for Gdol Yisrael, tremendous derecherets for all human beings, not just Talmidei Chachamim, but even the average person. And it's really amazing. He built a city called Otniel. And there were two very famous Rashi Yeshiva there who are still there, Baruch Hashem. Yibodo L'chaim Arukim, Rabbi Reim HaKoin, and his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yom Kalmanson. And he had tremendous da'acharis for them, even though he built the yeshiva and didn't agree with a lot of their positions. But he felt that I am the mankal of the yeshiva. I have to have da'acharis for them. I'll just mention one or two more items. His dveikus in Hashem Yisbarach was unbelievable. He built a mikveh in his home in order that he should be able to be mekayim the takonos Ezra on a daily basis. He used the mikveh on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. He was also a kaplan along the way. He knew how to build. He was actually literally a builder in many, many respects. But he recognized the value of Kedusha in our lives, Rachmana Libavoy, And he had tremendous acharets for all kinds of people. He went to high school in Eretz Yisrael. The high school he went to was the high school of Rav Shlomo Rifkin, Rabbi Steve Rifkin, the Rav of Efrat. And even though he disagreed with a lot of his positions, whenever we met Rabbi Rifkin, the acharets that he showed him was amazing to me. You could disagree with him, but you could still have the acharets for a great person. I want to mention his davening. On Shabbos, we're in Teaneck, New Jersey, in the United States, and he's dressed all in white. He's dressed in white on Shabbos, like the Mekubalim, who would go to greet the Shabbos. We actually daven in Teaneck. We would start in the morning at 6 o'clock in one minyan, and then that minyan would end relatively quickly. We would continue with the second minyan, and usually we finish with the third minyan, because he davened very slowly, very carefully, and his tefillah was really ke'eved ha'kofel l'rabba, like a servant right before his master. And the last thing I wanted to mention, that he really directed our yeshiva in the most beautiful way. He had a connection with every single Rebbe in our yeshiva. His office was open to anyone. He sort of ran the yeshiva with a shalat, with a long distance kind of machinery, because he was only there usually twice a week, but somehow he knew exactly everything that was happening in the yeshiva. He was a source of tremendous creativity, full of ideas, and certainly he was someone who gave to Klal Yisrael, made a massive contribution. He was also b'tzach yitziva b'amuna, and certainly the Ribbono Shel is giving him tremendous schar, and halavai in that source of the individual who was meisa nefesh, that the Ribbono Shel should send bracha v'atzlacha to his entire family. And we are constantly davening, I am, and the yeshiva, the yilu, the shmaso, that halavai, all of us should only hear besaras tovas to Klal Yisrael, refuah shleima, and bekara, we should be zeicha to see the nechama tzion and binyan Yerushalayim, v'meir b'yameinu, amen.